For the next little while, we are going to be taking a close look at the gospel of our salvation. We are going to be looking at the gospel of the marvelous salvation from the debt and penalty of our sins that God has provided for us through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, which salvation becomes ours when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, when we trust exclusively in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. In addition, we are also going to be learning about the wonderful assurance of our salvation that God wants us to have, but that unfortunately so many Christians lack for the various reasons that we will look at. Now, folks, this will be a very important series of studies, and a very needful one as well. And I want you to understand and appreciate this right from the outset. This is an important series of studies for a number of reasons as we will deal with, but especially because the gospel of our salvation is so often perverted and commonly misstated. And because of this, often what is preached today in the name of evangelism is not the grace of God and truth. It's not the truth of the gospel. Instead, it is another gospel or a perversion of the gospel of Christ. Instead of people being told to trust exclusively in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them on the cross for their salvation, they are frequently told that there are works that they must do in order to be saved. Works like obeying the Ten Commandments or being good, joining a church or being water baptized, tithing or obeying the Golden Rule, observing holy days or partaking of sacraments, doing works of penance or other such works. People end up, therefore, trusting in their own works to save them, or in a mixture of their own works plus faith in Christ. But folks, when people hear messages like that, they haven't heard the gospel of the grace of God in truth. They haven't heard the truth of the gospel. Rather, they have heard a perversion of the gospel of Christ. But what's worse is that there is no salvation in a message like that. There is no salvation in a perversion of the gospel of Christ. Therefore, they have heard a message designed to keep them unsaved, rather than one designed to save them. Now, folks, perversions of the gospel exist because of Satan's strong desire to keep people from being saved. Satan is actively engaged in producing and propagating false gospels and perversions of the gospel of Christ. In fact, he has a whole policy of evil dedicated to this very thing. Therefore, it is very important for us to make sure that we know that we have heard the gospel of the grace of God in truth, that we have believed it, and that we have not been victimized by a perversion of the gospel. Now, folks, as we get ourselves underway in this new series of studies, I want you to note with me the seriousness of the issue of perversions of the gospel. Take your Bible with me, if you will, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at a few verses here now where the Apostle Paul makes it clear that, first of all, Satan does have what I call a policy of evil against the gospel. And that means that he's engaged actively and constantly in producing false gospels, propagating them, producing perversions of the gospel of Christ, and propagating them, and endeavoring to, as Paul will say here in 2 Corinthians 4, to blind people's minds to the truth of the gospel. And we'll see that here not only in this passage, but in a couple of others that we will examine. And what I'm trying to do, first of all, is to make sure we understand and appreciate the seriousness of the issue of perversions of the gospel, and the importance, therefore, to make sure that we are ones who have heard the gospel of the grace of God in truth, and know that gospel, and have believed it, therefore, unto our salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's begin reading here in verse 1, and we'll read down through to verse 4. Paul says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry," and he's talking about the ministry he has as a preacher of the gospel of God's grace, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice especially here in verses 3 and 4, Paul talks about, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And then in verse 4, he describes what produced that, what produces the hiding of the gospel. He says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, Paul refers to the devil, Satan, the adversary here, as the God of this world, and he describes him as being actively engaged in endeavoring to blind men's minds to, as he says there, so that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should not shine unto them. Satan's actively engaged in producing messages that are really false gospels and perversions of the gospel of Christ, and getting it, therefore, by those false gospels and perversions so that men don't see the truth of the gospel. And they end up, therefore, rejecting the truth of the gospel and adhering to this false gospel or this perversion of the gospel of Christ. In order for a man's mind to be blinded to the truth, a false message must be accepted. And Paul's dealing here with the issue of what causes it so that men don't believe the gospel of God's grace and truth as he proclaims it. And it's the issue of an active policy of evil that the adversary, Satan himself, produces to actually keep men unsaved. Now, once again, folks, it's important to recognize right from the outset that there is this policy of evil that Satan has, and false gospels and perversions of the gospel of Christ are going to be common issues. Come to me over again, if you would, to chapter 11 here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And notice Paul here later on in the epistle will talk about the very activity of these ministers of Satan that propagate this other gospel, this perversion of the gospel of Christ. Pick it up here, if you would, in 2 Corinthians in verse 3. Paul says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Notice once again Paul's dealing here with the tactics of the adversary, and he's dealing with the subtlety and the deceptiveness and the mind-corrupting doctrines that the adversary communicates. And when you get down to verse 4 there, you'll notice that in particular, one of the mind-corrupting doctrines that Paul has in mind is the issue of another gospel. Well, that's what he was talking about back there in chapter 4 that we looked at just a few moments ago. Satan has, once again, a policy of evil by which he propagates, produces, and spreads abroad false gospels, other gospels, gospels that are not the gospel of the grace of God in truth. And the goal is to get it so that people believe those messages rather than the gospel of the grace of God in truth. And, of course, there's no salvation in these false gospels, and therefore, instead of the message leading or providing salvation for the person, they end up thinking that they may very well end up being saved, but they're not going to be saved at all in the end. Come to me, if you would, over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And note this again. Galatians chapter 1. And pick it up here, if you would, with me at verse 6. Paul says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Here's this other gospel issue once again. And unfortunately, these Galatians had been deceived by these other individuals who came into the Galatian area after the Apostle Paul had departed, and they preached this other gospel, and they did bear with them, just like Paul was afraid the Corinthians would. And unfortunately, these Galatians became preachers themselves of this other gospel. But notice once again, as Paul says there in verse 6, it's another gospel, which, as he says at the beginning of verse 7, which is not another. In other words, it's not another legitimate gospel. It's not a gospel by which you can also be saved. It's not like God has two or three or more messages, gospels, of our salvation today. No, he's only got one gospel of our salvation today. Satan has got a number of false gospels, or as Paul says here in verse 7, perversions of the gospel of Christ. And the goal, once again, by those perversions, is to blind people's minds to the truth of the gospel and to keep them unsaved. Now, folks, as these passages teach, there are going to be many false gospels in existence, many perversions of the gospel of Christ. Satan has seen to this, and he will continue to do so. And once again, because of this, oftentimes, instead of people hearing the gospel of the grace of God in truth, instead of them hearing the truth of the gospel, they hear a perversion of the gospel. And of course, they respond to it, hoping it leads to eternal life, but it won't and can't, because it isn't the gospel of the grace of God in truth. Folks, only the gospel of Christ in truth is the power of God unto salvation. A perversion of the gospel of Christ is not. It's just as Paul says here, it's another gospel which is not another, and there is no salvation in it at all. Therefore, folks, it is vitally important to us to make sure that we know that we have heard the gospel of the grace of God in truth, that we have believed it, and also that we communicate it to others in truth. Okay, now, let's begin our study of the gospel of our salvation with a real very fundamental issue. Let's begin by making sure we know where to find the gospel of our salvation in the Bible. Which gospel in the Bible is the gospel of our salvation today? Now, if that sounds like a peculiar question to you, it really shouldn't. You realize that there is more than one gospel in the Bible. There's more than one program that God has recorded on the pages of His Word from Genesis to the book of the Revelation. And folks, since there is more than one gospel in the Bible, we had better make sure, first and foremost, that we know which one is the gospel of our salvation today. Now, like I said, this is a very fundamental issue, but it's also extremely important. Is the gospel of our salvation today the gospel, for example, that you find being preached by John the Baptist and the 12 apostles as recorded in the gospel accounts? Come back with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, is the gospel of our salvation today the gospel of the kingdom? Well, let me ask it this way. If you respond to the gospel of the kingdom that's proclaimed back here as recorded in Matthew chapter 3, if you respond to the gospel of the kingdom, will God save you? Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. It says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the message, that's the good news, that's the gospel that John the Baptist began to proclaim in his ministry, that the Lord himself began to proclaim shortly thereafter, and that the Lord commissioned, as you can read about in Matthew chapter 10, for Peter, James, and John, the other 12 apostles, to proclaim with him in the land of Israel. It's called, throughout the gospel accounts, the gospel of the kingdom. Now I ask you once again, is the gospel of our salvation today this gospel? Is it the gospel of the kingdom? If you were to respond once again to the gospel of the kingdom, is God going to save you? Folks, the gospel of the kingdom isn't the gospel of our salvation today. The gospel of the kingdom is the good news about the time having come in God's program with Israel for the kingdom of heaven to be established on this earth. And the kingdom of heaven is not the issue of how to go to heaven when you die. The kingdom of heaven is the issue of God establishing his literal, physical kingdom on this earth in fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant and also in fulfillment of his original design and purpose for the earth. Come with me, if you would, over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And notice that when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her that she was going to be the one through whom the Messiah was going to be born, he declared the issue that this was all about in connection with God's program with Israel and what he had come to do. Luke chapter 1, and begin reading here in verse 30. It says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." That's what the gospel of the kingdom is all about. It's the issue of the Messiah coming to the land of Israel for the purpose of fulfilling what's been promised and covenanted unto the people of Israel, and for the Lord God to give unto him the throne of his father David, and for him to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and for him to have his kingdom established, the kingdom of heaven on this earth, and for there to be no end in it. And the salvation, a big portion of the salvation in this gospel of the kingdom, involves the issue of Israel being saved from their physical enemies. Look a little later on here in chapter 1 here in Luke, and pick it up down in verse 67. It says, "And his father, Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, when he was born, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us from the house of his servant David," that's the Messiah. And note what that salvation's all about. "As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which has been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." The gospel of the kingdom is the good news to Israel concerning the time having come for the establishment of their kingdom, and for them to be saved from all their enemies, and for them to be able to serve God in holiness and righteousness all the days of their lives in that kingdom. And folks, something else about the gospel of the kingdom that people very often aren't aware of is that the 12 apostles, for example, as they preached the gospel of the kingdom while the Lord was here on the earth, weren't saying anything in that gospel about the issue of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Come with me, if you would, here in Luke's gospel over to chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and begin reading here in verse 31. It says, "Then he, Jesus, took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." Now they're on their way to Jerusalem. The Lord's three-year ministry is winding itself down, and he's going to Jerusalem here, ready to do exactly what he said the prophet spoke about. And these apostles, these 12 apostles with him, have been preaching the gospel of the kingdom in Israel for about 3 years now. But notice what it says in verse 34. It says, "And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." Folks, the 12 apostles for 3 years preached the gospel of the kingdom and didn't understand anything about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And they weren't out there proclaiming the issue of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and they weren't out there telling anybody to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was going to die for them, be buried, and raised again the third day for them. Folks, what I'm trying to do here is to underscore to you, first and foremost, that the gospel of our salvation today is not the gospel of the kingdom. And unfortunately, as part of the satanic policy of evil, Satan doesn't always need to produce false gospels or perversions of the gospel of Christ. He can also get it so that people don't rightly divide the word of truth, and they'll go to the Bible and find another gospel that's on the pages of God's word and preach that today as if that's the gospel of our salvation. And it's not, but that's just as effective as producing a false gospel or a perversion of the gospel of Christ. Folks, God isn't saving people today by the gospel of the kingdom. And if you respond to the gospel of the kingdom, there isn't any salvation for you in this dispensation of grace when it comes to this gospel. The gospel of the kingdom pertains to God's program with Israel, and it's not the gospel of our salvation today in this dispensation of Gentile grace that's now in effect. Is the gospel of our salvation today the everlasting gospel you find written about and spoken about over in the book of the Revelation? Come with me over to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And notice here in verse 6, John says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters." Is that the gospel of our salvation today? If you respond to the everlasting gospel as spelled out here, will God save you today? Well, folks, the answer to that question is the same as the previous question. No, the gospel of our salvation today is not the everlasting gospel you find written about over here in Revelation chapter 14. John here is talking about the preaching of this everlasting gospel after this dispensation of grace in which we live is over with. And this gospel will be preached once the great tribulation period begins to transpire here on this earth. And the salvation that's spoken about and that's obtained by someone responding to this everlasting gospel here is a physical deliverance at the very end of that great tribulation. Oh, this is not the gospel of our salvation today. And if someone responds to the everlasting gospel today, there's no salvation in it for them. Well, folks, where is and what is the gospel of our salvation today? Well, once again, if you've been a listener to the Open Bible broadcast, you understand that we live in the dispensation of the grace of God for us Gentiles. God suspended his program with Israel when he unexpectedly returned from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ returned from heaven, as recorded in Acts chapter 9, and raised up the Apostle Paul as a brand new apostle. When God did that, he suspended his program with Israel and declared and revealed to the Apostle Paul the information for and about this dispensation of Gentile grace that's now in effect. And he gave to the Apostle Paul the gospel of the uncircumcision, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of our salvation in this dispensation. And therefore, when it comes to finding where in the Bible is the gospel of our salvation, we need to go, of course, to the epistles of the Apostle Paul. And what the gospel of our salvation is all about is what Paul refers to, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when he talks about the preaching of the cross. The gospel of our salvation today is the good news of what God has accomplished for us and offers to us freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, the redemption that took place when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. Come with me very quickly, if you would, to Romans chapter 3. The gospel of our salvation is here, for example, in Romans chapter 3. And this is what we are going to be focusing upon and making sure we understand and appreciate, and that we have believed, and that we communicate faithfully in truth as we witness to others. The gospel of our salvation, Romans chapter 3, beginning here in verse 21. Paul says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Folks, this once again is the gospel of our salvation today. This is the gospel of the grace of God that God has preached today. And unfortunately, though, this is also the gospel that the satanic policy of evil works so hard to produce perversions of, or to get it so that Christian people, I should say, don't recognize it, and they work to respond to another gospel that's contained in the pages of God's Word as the gospel of the kingdom or the everlasting gospel that we took a brief look at a moment ago. Folks, the gospel of our salvation today is the good news of God offering salvation freely by his grace from the debt and penalty of our sins, and it's to be obtained through faith exclusively being placed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died as our substitute redeemer on the cross of Calvary. This is the gospel of our salvation today. This is the gospel we need to make sure that we have heard and that we have believed and that we haven't responded to another gospel or a perversion of this gospel of God's grace. Now, once again, this is an extremely important issue, and as we proceed on in these studies over the next few weeks, we're going to cover the issues that are essential to understand and appreciate, both about the gospel of our salvation and the wonderful assurance that God wants us to have as ones who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, folks, this brings us to the close right now of today's broadcast. We've run out of time. We'll have to resume this next time. Once again, though, I'm certainly glad you were able to join us, and I hope you'll be able to join us next week at the same time. Now, if you would like a cassette tape copy of today's study, or a listing of available literature and tapes to help you understand and enjoy the Bible, all you need to do is send us a note with your request. The number of today's study to request is number 151.